call the Thursday, June 18th Plan Commission meeting to order. Mr. Fuchs, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson?
Here.
Commissioner Hogan?
Here.
Commissioner Thinnes?
Here.
Commissioner Haley?
Here.
Commissioner Morrow?
Here.
Alderwoman Mayor?
Excused.
Commissioner Fowler?
Excused. We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item B1 in your packets, there are minutes from the regular meeting of June 4th. Any additions or corrections?
Motion. I would move approval.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C, we have no public hearing matters. Item D, business matters. The first one, item D1, American Advantage Insurance, Mr. Deal.
Thank you, Mayor. Site plan, you should have some additional updated revised materials in front of you tonight, primarily relating to the parking lot. So this property is located on the corner of 29th and Ryan Road, existing house. So legal non-conforming use, it's zoned B4 commercial, but it's been a residential house for probably forever. The owner wishes to change it now to a commercial insurance agency business. It's permitted use in the B4 zoning district, so but they are required to make some site plan changes. Primarily those relate to the parking lot. They have to provide a parking lot. Based on the UDO requirements, 4 parking stalls have to be provided, and also one of those would have to be a handicap stall. However, as the applicant was putting the plans together, and they had a couple of different iterations through the process, it was almost impossible, and it appears it might be impossible, to make a fully code-compliant parking lot on that property. Either the parking aisle is too narrow, you get too close to a property line, parking stalls are too small, the fit it between the house and the property line. The layout that you have before you is the latest version just done today. It does address all the staff's concerns unless the city engineer has any further comments. It has a fully properly sized drive aisle. It has fully properly sized parking aisles, but it can't meet the setback requirement from the property line on the north. The parking lot has to be 10 feet away from that property line. They can't meet that requirement and still provide all the proper sizes for the drive aisle and parking stalls. So staff notes that the disapproval would be contingent upon a number of conditions, one of which is they would have to revise the parking lot to be fully code compliant or obtain whatever necessary variance they would need. So as currently proposed, that parking lot would need a variance to have a smaller setback from that north property line. At this point in time, staff doesn't have a problem with that, but they do have to go through the Board of Zoning and Building Appeals to get a variance. The applicant is aware of that. I've talked to them today. They do want to get into that building as quickly as they can. As we normally do, all our approvals would have time frames associated with them. Sometimes they're building permit, sometimes they're occupancy permit. Staff wouldn't have an objection to revising this condition that they obtain the parking lot variance prior to occupancy. Staff would be okay with that. There are other smaller issues too. They have to provide a handicapped accessible entrance to this building. Staff would prefer that it was on the west side of the building. Earlier versions in your packet show it on that side, but that caused further problems with the parking lot. Now the applicant would like to put it on the south side of the building. Staff is okay with it as long as that ramp either looks aesthetically pleasing or they screen it with some landscaping. And they're willing to make it out of concrete with some decorative railings and the screening. So they do have to provide a revised landscaping plan to show that landscaping and some other required landscaping. I can note that on the photograph, the aerial photograph up on the screen there, Those trees have been recently removed, so that whole side of the building is more visible. In another condition, so that's one of the conditions in the resolution as well, to provide that updated landscaping plan. Also, as a condition, is that there be some aesthetic improvements to the building and or the site. Because of that high visibility corner, it's on Ryan Road and 29th. This property is also in the 27th Street corridor, which has design standards. Those standards don't apply to this property because the design standards only come into play when you're building a new building or increasing an existing building by 50% or more. However, there has been past practice to encourage meeting whatever design criteria you can in those situations like this where it's not required. So between the visibility of this corner and being within that design 27th Street corridor, staff is recommending that some further aesthetic improvements be made to this property. The applicant has agreed replace the doors and windows with newer and more aesthetically pleasing doors and windows. They've, I believe, also agreed to put some cement siding trim around the doors and windows. As I previously mentioned, they're willing to put some decorative railing on the ramp, the handicap accessible ramp, and they'd be also willing to remove the fence if they had to. The fence is not in terrible shape, but it's not too pleasing either. So staff has proposed examples of things to do. We're not requiring or requesting that the applicant do all of them. Those are just examples to get the conversation started. That is in as a condition, though, in the resolution for the site plan. Staff is okay with the changes they're proposing. So other than changing the one condition to say that the variance to be received for the parking lot setback by occupancy, staff thinks those conditions as they're listed would be okay as they stand. And we're recommending approval with those conditions.
Commissioners?
If you do wish to make any further changes, the applicant would like to speak.
Depending on what those changes are. Mr. City Engineer.
I like the project. I think it's a good improvement to what's out there now. The only comment I would ask to add a condition on a sidewalk for 29th Street. Looking at the UDO, I can't find any place where we waive sidewalks. It seems like it's getting away from installing them. So there is a sidewalk along Ryan Road, which is good. 29th Street, as an example, today at 3:20, I followed about a 12-year-old girl on a skateboard halfway down the block. So I'd like to see us as a commission start putting more sidewalks into projects, not letting them slide through like they have in the past. So I'd like to see a condition on an additional sidewalk for 29th Street.
Commissioners?
Joel, on the setback on the parking lot, I see a 3'9.5". You're saying that should be 10 feet.
Correct.
Is what is allowed there. Then the other side is 4'8.5" off the structure. Is that an adequate setback away from the structure for parking lot, or is there?
I believe that's okay.
Yeah, I don't.
Okay, is there a reason why the parking is way over on the side here, creating that problem, as opposed to being in the back lot area where the fence is there?
To get enough room, they would have to go east beyond the building so that they could have the drive aisle swing south, you know, 5 or so feet. And then they would have enough room to be 10 feet away. But they don't want their parking lot to go back that far.
Okay, the drive aisle that's shown here at 24'3", 24'2", right. That's what's required.
Yep.
There's a newer map that came with our fresh packet. It's got different dimensions on it. The one that was waiting for you here.
Yeah. The new one shows 3 parking stalls on the north and 1 at handicap on the south. No, 4.
I'm
4 on the north. 4 on the north, 1 on the south.
This was laying here in front of you.
You got it.
And if you need a bigger one, the applicant...
No, it got better, is I guess what I was saying.
Okay, yeah, because it's six.
They're up to 6 feet now. Yeah.
And that's like a standard driveway setback on a residential lot is 6 feet, right?
Yeah. Yes, for commercial, it's 10 feet.
It's 10 feet for commercial, six feet for residential.
Commissioner Hogan.
Just a question. Is the applicant stating you don't want to remove that fence?
No, I... Actually,
Mr. Boucher, oh, come on up, have a seat there. Give us your name and address, please, for the record in the microphone.
Brian Boucher, home address 4303 Gilchrist Road, Flint Lake, Wisconsin. Can I go here? Actually, I was looking at this again today. The fence along the Ryan Road here, the fence along 29th Street, I'd like to take down for sure. If someone mentioned to it, it's not pleasing looking, but I think keeping this and this, there's some benefit to that. I think that the neighbor actually wouldn't mind having the separation here. I notice he's in his backyard a lot. Maybe, you know, we enjoy that. And also back here, this is that area back here where it's the there's a, some sort of a drainage ditch or something back there. And the fence is pretty well hidden, especially you won't see it from Ryan Road, being that it's perpendicular. This, I think, has got to go, and I could even put something decorative between the building and here in the lot line, you know, split rail type thing, something like that. But this, I think, should go regardless, allow me to push snow that way, too, and it looks doesn't look good. But keeping these two up, I think, makes some sense. So
It looks like there's the two fences.
No, they put that up. The tenants had like dogs in there, okay. So they wanted to end the deck back there. So
right.
I put that up so the dogs wouldn't jump over. That's gone already. Yeah. This split rail, this lattice is gone. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But that fence between here and the lot line looks, you know.
Yeah, I
yeah.
I would ask that you would remove that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the lattice work is gone.
Lattice work is gone. So I guess taking the fence down, yes, and I think there is some benefit to leaving this here as well. And for more for the day, you know what I mean? I don't know.
I didn't have a problem with the back or the side there, but I did have a problem with the stuff in the front and on 29th Street. Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to give a shot at a motion here. Is there a motion to approve a resolution approving a site plan for conversion of a single-family residence to a commercial office for American Vantage Insurance with the additional changes of deletion on item 7, beginning at the colon, deleting the addition of brick or stone siding to the base of the building in the south and west elevations, end of that change, and adding a condition for installation of a sidewalk on South 29th Street to the satisfaction of the engineering department, and that the applicant receive a variance for the parking lot prior to occupancy.
Is that landscaping of the ramp?
I left out all that.
You left all that.
Removal of the fence?
Left all of that. I left it all as it is, except for taking off the
those two
fence coating.
Okay.
Is there such a motion?
So moved.
Second. Discussion of that motion. Seeing none, all those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. By the way, note for staff, it's not that we object to you, and we appreciate the effort. So you get it. All right, thank you. Let's go to item 2, certified survey map for ACJM LLC, Mr. Deedle.
Thank you. As you may recall, related to this CSM was a UDO text amendment that was approved last month by the council. This property is also Zone B4, I believe. Yes. And that required a UDO text amendment to allow lot divisions or land divisions in small parcels like this. So that was approved by the council last month, so now he's going forward with the CSM itself. Staff's recommending approval of the CSM with a couple conditions. One is that there's a breezeway that's going to go across that property line. the UDO requires building setbacks from property lines. This is a new property line. They have to meet that requirement by code, so that breezeway has to be removed. Standard condition or standard practice would be to have that removed prior to recording of the CSM. There's a couple options in the condition of the resolution. One is to raise it before recording of the CSM, removing that breezeway. Two would be to obtain a variance to allow it to remain and obtain that variance before recording of the CSM. Or three is to post a bond or letter of credit so that that gets removed prior to recording the CSM. And if the applicant doesn't do it, then the city would do it using that bond or letter of credit. That was one of the conditions, and the applicant is not too thrilled with that condition, so he may wish to speak. Other condition is that there be a natural resource protection plan prepared. The applicant hasn't shown any of that stuff on the CSM. There may be woodlands. There probably are woodlands on this property. We added to the packet a map that was prepared by SewerPAC for the adjacent property. They only field verified the stuff that was on the Nature's Nook property, but based on air photo interpretation, they also show what's on adjacent properties, including this one. They show that as woodlands. The applicant believes that those woodlands don't meet the criteria of woodlands, and staff would disagree with that. And the bottom line is that you hire a consultant to map that stuff. The city, if we have any concerns or issues, we have a second consultant confirm that. The applicant also has objection and concern with that process as well. He may wish to speak about that as well. So bottom line, staff is recommending approval with conditions, one, that that breezeway be removed in either of those three options, and that a natural resource protection plan be done, or a consultant determine that there are no natural resources on this property. However, staff believes there probably will be woodlands. And then the applicant may wish to speak about that, but we are recommending approval with those conditions.
Murphy?
Howdy.
Come on up.
Have a seat.
You do understand that those two conditions are conditions based on code.
I do.
So what I would ask you is, relative to the first one, the with the breezeway, what's your pick for the three options?
Actually, the primary reason that we're subdividing the property, we've got both business and residence.
Right.
There's financial aspects of the two of them tied together. Our bank wants them all separated, normal mortgages, all that sort of stuff. So having spoken both of them, as well as our general contractor, the easiest route for us in order to accommodate everything that we're trying to do is actually do the variance, because that allows the CSM to be taken care of immediately. Versus any of the other options, if we're not allowed to record the CSM until the breezeway is removed and all the renovations and constructions that are going to have to go on in both buildings associated with that, that delays our entire time frame. We're in the middle of renovation on the house, on the residential portion of things. I, at this point, prefer not to delve into yet another immediate project. And quite frankly, I don't want to rip two big holes in my house and my office in the middle of winter. So from a practical standpoint, we absolutely want to get rid of it completely. Understand, totally agree. From
okay.
a functional standpoint, a variance is the easiest and fastest route for us. We're also that middle building that is attached to the residence, so it's all going to become one large residence. We're fully anticipating running and renovating all that. It's circa 1950s steel single frame building. That all makes sense to do that all at one time rather than several renovations associated with the holes in the wall actually get better. That's my preference.
As to the Natural Resources Protection Plan and the inventory of the woodlands, that's a requirement, frankly, that's looked at very closely by the Common Council. I don't know that there's any way that the Plan Commission can waive that condition.
I'm not asking for it to be waived. My issue is, and
I tried to say it nicely.
No, and I'll be as polite about this as I can. Bullshit. But here's the issue that I have with the document that you guys would like me to sign. Is an open check. I don't believe that the city writes blank checks, do they? Mr. Mayor? I don't believe that any member.
council write blank checks, or if you're willing to. Here's my issue. The document is in breath that they would like me to sign. I'm not in the habit of signing documents that are in breath. So here's what I'd like to do. The document that we're referring to regarding the Natural Resources Protection Plan, the survey company that we've used is R.A. Smith National. They did the original survey when we purchased the property. They listed as one of the consultants listed on that document. However, the document states, R.A. Smith is the third one. The document states that the first two, if the first two provide the Natural Resources Protection Plan, that's acceptable. R.A. Smith is the third one, not the first two. It's the company that I'm working with. What I do not want to deal with is having R.A. Smith come through, provide a document, do the Natural Resources Protection Plan, potentially in a scenario where it says, no, there are no natural resources. Staff has already said that they don't necessarily agree with that based on the map, and I'll tell you why the map is wrong. But what I don't want to do is pay for it twice.
Understand. The issues there. First of all, if the map is wrong, then it needs to be corrected, and this is the mechanism from which to do that. Do you have any issue with using R.A. Smith as the designated natural resources consultant?
Substantially or significantly, no, but I do have to point out what we've been following for a number of years is what was once approved for a limited period of time. Back in 2004, the council approved this process. You know, the first two consultants, and if not them, then the third one, that it had to be double-checked by one of those three. If, you know, the property owner can use anybody they want to, the map, all this stuff, or determine there's nothing out there. But to confirm, has to be one of those three. That was a process approved by the Common Council by resolution in 2004 for 1 year. That expired after 1 year. However, ever since 2005, that's what the city's been doing, is continuing that same practice. So that's a practice, and it has been beneficial to property owners in a number of instances where, you know, staff, plan commissioners, or council members question the accuracy of the natural resource delineations by a consultant and felt more comfortable when there was a second independent party confirming that those delineations were, in fact, correct. And in a few instances, they found there were things missing.
I'm good with that.
So
you got one, two, and three. So you usually start with one. But what's the difference if you start with three and then need to check it with number one?
I'm not sure why the third one was treated different. It may be because they came in later in the game, but I'm not sure. There is a staff report. I glanced at it briefly before the meeting. They didn't mention that difference. So I don't know why. I'm assuming that back at that 2004 period, the council had more confidence in those two agencies. And not as much.
What's the average cost of a survey such as we're requiring here?
It's hundreds of dollars to thousands of dollars, depending on the complexity and size of the property.
So Mr. Murphy's got what I think is probably a legitimate concern, that our contract says we'll get a second one without a limit on the dollar amount. So I think it would be appropriate to put a dollar amount on it, not to exceed. Maybe make it $50,000.
I'm already $8,000 into this process.
But what I'm trying to do is get to a solution where we can give you an approval.
I appreciate that. Yeah. I don't understand why R.A. Smith is not in there when they're listed as an accepted consultant. If everybody agrees that I can use R.A. Smith, who has done the CSM before the previous one and is listed as one of the accepted consultants, I am perfectly happy to.
I'm trying to get there. Mr. City Engineer.
Does R.A. Smith have what they call accelerated firm? As we were discussing, what's it called? Accelerated?
No, for the weapon, assured delineator?
Assured delineator.
I do not know.
Yeah, the consultants, I'm not sure.
Commissioner Haley?
Delineator, but they have.
Commissioner Haley?
Last time I checked, they do.
Commissioner
Phillips. I just want to clarify that by assured delineator, you're talking about the ones that the state only spot checks their work.
Yep. And it's for weapons.
Right.
Not necessarily woodlands.
Right.
But we don't have that same level of professional requirements for the woodland determinations as we do for the wetlands.
And this is only for locating these areas for a CSM. They're not that anybody's trying to build or invade setbacks or protected areas. It's just a matter of determining where on the property the woodlands and wetlands are.
At this point in time for this applicant, he's proposing no other changes. So,
right.
But the ordinance does require for
but
every
CSM. But it needs
to
be filed on the CSM when the CSM is filed. And that should be done because, you know, we've gotten to this trouble so many times where this stuff isn't done properly ahead of time. And
somebody buys the property.
Yeah, and then all of a sudden we're in a pinch because it wasn't delineated and filed ahead of the approvals of something else.
Right. And please don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to argue with that. I'm just trying to deal with the actual procedural aspects of things and the financial aspects as far as how they affect me. And quite frankly, any other resident of the city of Franklin.
All right, let me go ahead. All right, let's go ahead. You ready?
Well, I want to. We didn't discuss the issue with the breezeway thing at all.
Well, I asked him what your preference is of the three.
Yeah, well.
They will be to tear it down, but they're going to get a variance first, or that's what.
Okay, but the variance should be obtained before we look at approving the CSM, because in my opinion, I wouldn't be in favor of a variance being issued, even because it sounds to me like you're separating these properties to separate business interests versus personal interests, right?
Right.
So there's no reason why any part of either one of those properties should cross-contaminate with the other property. And the breezeway is a huge, we would never let property improvements cross a property line.
Actually, in this case, there are several other things that cross the property lines. The sewer systems, because we don't have city sewer, so there is an entire document that was drawn up by my attorney associated with all of the shared services that are between these two properties, so there are several. I completely understand it's an issue, and again, I want to get rid of it. At the moment, I can't get rid of it, because until you guys approve it, the middle building, which will eventually become part of the residence, is still zoned mixed. We're not changing the zoning, of course, but as far as the fire department is concerned, it is still a mixed use, which means that I have to have the fire suppression and sprinkler system that we had to put in still active in that building, which comes from through the breezeway and from the other building. So I can't get rid of it until you guys actually approve it, so that one side is residential, and then the fire department will actually allow me to disconnect the sprinkler system. So I'm in kind of a catch-22 here, and I apologize. This property is a huge pain in the ass, and we're trying to clean that up. I absolutely want to get rid of the breezeway. I understand
the dilemma, but the variance is not the method to delay that to be done, because variance is a permanent issue. Once that variance is issued, that breezeway does not have to come down.
Correct.
Ever. So to issue a breezeway to buy time to take it down is not the proper mode to do that with. And a variance should, and I said I was on the variance board for quite some time, is, you know, mere convenience is not a reason to issue a variance. A variance in terms of the sewer system, which is not a mere convenience, it's an actual functioning system, would be a reason for one, but not crossing, you know, that wouldn't be a reason in my mind to issue or to do a delay on a thing. You know, one of the other two ways is got to be the one, you know, that I would support, not the variance route.
Okay. Bonds, what, 10%?
I don't know. I've asked that question and don't have
I think it's about 10%. I don't think it's gospel, but I think a bond is
10%. It's a question that I have asked, and if somebody can give me a...
That would be in your insurance agent.
As far as what the city needs.
A bond for the amount of the estimated removal cost is what it is. So I don't know that anybody in this room is qualified to give you a rough guess, but
I've got an estimate for what it'll cost to take it down.
And the bond would be for that amount. Especially if you got an estimate.
Okay, what was the 10% that they referred to?
That would be your cost for the bond, is what I understand.
Haven't done it, so I don't know. That's my question.
And that's the cost.
Putting
I'm taking that
$1,000 I'm willing to do. Throwing up $11,000 doesn't throw it.
Yeah, well, I understand that.
I think everybody.
We're trying to get this done. For you.
Appreciate it.
Okay.
I'm trying to get it done too.
Let me give it a shot here. for the Adam C. Murphy and Tanya M. Murphy Land Division. Is there a recommendation, a motion to recommend approval of a resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map being part of parcel one of certified survey map 6044 and the lands being part of the southeast one-quarter of the northeast one-quarter section 25, town 5 north, range 21 east of the city of Franklin with the following conditions that the occupant or the applicant produce a bond in the amount of the removal cost prior to, Joel, prior to?
Prior to recording of the CSM.
Prior to the recording of the CSM, and the applicant as well produce a natural resources protection plan with R.A. Smith being approved as the consultant. Is that correct?
Well, that's the point. That would be the only one necessary. He was just asking if this is addressing the issue of a second consultant looking at it. And I said, well, that's the point. They want this one to be the
it's
only
typically
one.
Typically only done with a letter of no natural resource.
Then, but we need somebody to map the woodlands. Once that comes back, if we trust it, it's done. If it's not trusted, we go to number one as our consultant.
Right.
Okay. So is there such, is, so that motion meets your approval?
As long as the owner understands, too, that so R.A. Smith can do this natural resource protection plan or a letter saying there's nothing out there. We're going to look at it. City staff will. If we agree, it's done. If we disagree, it still has to go to another consultant.
Which would not be the case if it were one of the first two consultants listed. Am I correct?
Right.
Only if it's a known letter. If the first consultant listed were to have resources and staff questions, we'd still send it to another consultant.
That's not what you document us.
Adam, we can do this and move forward, and you guys can worry about that later, or we can hash it out. Personally,
I will agree to it. I would really strongly suggest that this be remedied for other residents of the city of Franklin.
Take a look at it. Sure. Okay, is there such a motion? Anybody?
I would make that motion with one clarification, as you read it, it required a bond. As written, it gives the option of a letter of credit or a bond. That may give you some flexibility.
I think that's an appropriate motion.
I haven't delved into what that actually means. So
letter of credit is a letter from your bank saying you're good for the money. A bond is an insurance company guaranteeing it will be there.
Well, a letter of credit locks up the cash, though, for the
kind of my agenda.
So
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion of that motion? Joel, you?
Yep.
You, Nick, okay. Any discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries.
Mayor, I apologize, but who was the maker and second?
The maker was Commissioner Haley. The second was Commissioner City Engineer Morrow.
Thank you.
Go forth and divide. Item three, Richard A. Hepp and April Hepp, Land Division, the two-lot certified survey map, Mr. Deedle.
Another CSM, also a two-lot CSM. I think I forgot to mention that before. The previous one was also a two-lot CSM. Property owner is here. Existing home, a larger lot, they want to split it in half. It doesn't meet all the zoning requirements. They also have natural resources on their property. They had sewer pack go out there and map the wetlands and woodlands. That information will have to be provided on the CSM and the conservation easement recorded for that as well. So that was the only condition. I do have a note to mention. As we were preparing the staff report, we noticed that the trees were cut that were in part of that wetland, actually to the east of the power line. We Energy's power line is there. The trees were removed. I talked to sewer pack staff. As I said, they were the ones that mapped the wetlands and woodlands. They concur with the property owner that the majority of those trees were green ash. They concur that, or they also added that the majority of the understory was buckthorn. The applicant or the property owner is indicating that those trees were infested by the emerald ash borer, and that's why they were removed. If that's the case, typically we we haven't allowed that in the past, those trees to be removed, particularly, and it is.
What are you going to do about it now?
I don't know. So I just wanted to mention it to the council just to let you know. Normally what happens is either somebody lets the DPW guys know, so they just take a drive-by and say, yeah, it's infested, it's dying, just to be on the safe side. Or an independent consultant or contractor, somebody.
Don't cut any more trees.
So they're all going to crash down soon.
Is there a motion to recommend approval of resolution conditionally approving a two-lot certified survey map being a redivision of Lot 2, Block 3 of Hundy Park, being a subdivision of a part of the northwest one-quarter north and northeast one-quarter of the southeast one-quarter of Section 14, Township 5 North, Range 21 East, in the city of Franklin, Milwaukee County, Wisconsin. Commissioner Stennis, move.
Second.
Commissioner Hogan, almost said all of them again. Any discussion on the motion? Commissioner Haley.
Just one comment that the trees are down, they're gone. You still have delineated wetlands below, so that does not keep forward wherever the property owners are, that those are protected areas.
All those in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Motion to adjourn.
Motion.
Okay. Discussion. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.